Well, you know it's going to be a good Sunday when your microphone doesn't work just before the service starts. And that just means to me that my good friend Tim Jones likes to say, a little bit of resistance means that God has got something good planned for us. Amen. Amen. I am so glad to welcome you to Bethany this morning. We're starting a new series today called Navigating Uncertainty. And I'm just going to pause and say, do you have any uncertainty in your life right now? We're going to be looking at some of the ways in which the Bible talks about navigating uncertainty. And I hope it really challenges you and blesses you. It has me and Pastor Brent as we've been working on developing this series for y'all. As we begin our worship this morning, just a couple of things I want to let you know. We have looked at our CDC guidelines. For now, we feel like we're in compliance with what we're being asked to do. So those of you who wish to be without a mask, you're welcome to sit on this side. There's a section reserved for those of you who want to wear a mask all the time. And we ask that everyone wear a mask during singing. So if you didn't bring one, there's a table outside with one. This morning, we have our communion service. During COVID, what we've been doing is blessing the elements and then taking the trays. And after the service, these are prepackaged, factory-developed communion kits for us. We put them out just outside the doors so that you can grab one on the way out to be able to celebrate communion and feel like it's safe. Still not yet a good time for us to be forming lines and walking forward and offering and celebrating communion that way. So let's begin with a word of prayer. And I also want to lift up a word of celebration as we do this, because the youth came back from their mission trip to Brooklyn on Sunday. I know. Touched a lot of great lives, and a lot of great stories happened. And my heart is full of celebration for the ways in which God is using the people here at Bethany to touch our world. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we want to thank you. Thank you so much for the gift of your presence, especially in moments of uncertainty for us. And for sure, our lives have been filled with uncertainty for what seems like years, and especially during COVID. And we are grateful that you are a God who's committed to being with us, to walking beside us, and to helping us through these things. As we look biblically at what it means to face uncertainty in our lives and navigate it, bless us, open us, challenge us, and move us to understand you better and what you're offering to us. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Family, can you stand and worship with us? Amen. Navigating uncertainty, one thing I can tell you is that the lion and the lamb will stand beside us and we win. Amen.
He's coming on a cloud, kings and kingdoms will bow down, and every chain will break as broken hearts declare his praise. For who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles. Every knee will bow before him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sin of the world. His blood breaks the chains, and every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Oh, every knee will bow before him. Oh, 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 oh. So open up the gate, make way before the King of Kings. He's a God that comes to save. He's here to set the captives free. For who can stop the Lord Almighty? No one. Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles. And every knee will bow before him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sin of the world. His blood breaks the chain,
we're waiting for that glorious day where every knee will bow and every tongue shall confess that you are God. For who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Can you sing that? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? No one. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? No one. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? No one. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord? Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles. Every knee will bow before him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sin of the world. His blood breaks the chain. Every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Oh, every knee will bow before him.
This microphone is not mine, and I am clearly trying to figure it out. This is what it means to live out navigating uncertainty just before you have to preach on it. Okay, am I on, Matthew? Excellent. Give me just a minute to center myself. This morning, as we celebrate communion, I want us to recall Jesus and the Last Supper and the gathering that he had with his disciples. Jesus gathered his disciples together in the upper room for a final meal. And during that time, I want you to think about some of the things that Jesus did. First, he told his disciples that it was going to be okay. He let them know that he loved them, he cared about them, and that he was going to provide for them. Second of all, he gave them a new commandment that they should love each other. And third, he dealt with Judas. He talked to Judas and told him that he understood he had a mission, and he said, go and do that mission. Now, the reason why I'm lifting this before you in a story that you already know is because of this. For you and I, if you and I were on the edge of death, think about how we would be dealing with that. How we need to be dealing with our own feelings and emotions, our relationships, the things that you need to wrap up in life. Jesus, in this moment, talk about uncertainty. Jesus, in this moment, was caring for all the people around him, including the person that was going to betray him. Jesus had such a centeredness about him and about being in God's will and doing God's work, that even though he would later in the garden pray so hard that he would sweat blood, he was not consumed in this moment by that. He was able to focus on the people around him, which was an amazing gift. And when I think about Jesus and his willingness to care about me in the midst of what God is going through, think about this. How many prayer requests do you think God got just last night? How many problems do you think are on God's plate? He is committed to caring for everyone, to watching over everyone day and night. But when we need him, he's always there. Always.
And so I think about another way in which this meal was a gift to us. It was a reminder to us that even in the midst of Jesus' own moments of uncertainty, he was still helping us with our moments of uncertainty. And what a powerful gift that is. That's the kind of love that Christ had for us, that when he gathered his disciples together, he took the bread and he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples and he said, "Take and eat, for this is my body which is given for you. Do this as often as you take it in remembrance of me." And then after the supper, he took the cup, he lifted it before the Father and he blessed it and he said, "This is the blood of the new covenant, my blood shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, Father, we gather together and ask that you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, would bless these gifts of bread and wine, that they would become for us the body and the blood of Christ, that we may be your people redeemed by your blood, sent out on your mission for a world that is full of uncertainty. Help us to be your hands and feet, Christ, even as we receive your redeeming help. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. If you're worshiping at home with us, I invite you now to take the bread and the cup together, either by bread or crackers, and some juice, and celebrate that now. Those of us in the congregation, we will put these trays outside, and you can take them as you go. May the Lord bless us as we receive his gift to us. Would you lead us forward?
Bethany, would you guys stand and worship with us? This song is a familiar one, but it's such a beautiful one, asking God to open the eyes, not our physical eyes, but Lord, open the eyes of our heart. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's say together.
Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy.
Let's say,
holy, 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 I want to see you.
Thank you, God, for this day that you have given us to rest and enjoy family, to enjoy being with you, and to enjoy all that you have given us. We are grateful and we ask you to help us to help others experience the joy we have this morning because we know your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
In an age of, at least it seems like we're in a time of unprecedented uncertainty, and it's not just COVID. Do you feel that way about politics? How about economics? How about race relations? Health issues? Technology? Doesn't it feel like there's some new technology almost every week? Here's the other thing that makes my life more uncertain, and maybe it's just me, but when I was growing up going to the grocery store, there was about 5 different kinds of cereal. There were about 2 different kinds of syrup. And now when I go to the grocery store, there are too many options. There are too many choices. And you know, as beautiful it is as it is to live in an age where there are so many choices, after a while, too many choices doesn't create options, it creates uncertainty. And after a while, it used to be that you would just grab something off the shelf and now you have to study it. Now, not only is the product there, but it has all of the nutritional information, all of the ingredients, and you begin to go down a rabbit hole just trying to pick your maple syrup. And so, all of these things are in front of us, not to mention climate change, and the list is long and amazing. And as I began building the series, I was reflecting on how I have made it an unconscious goal in my life. It wasn't really, well, my therapist helped me to understand it, but just recently have I began to understand that one of the unwritten goals of my life was to try and eliminate as much uncertainty as possible. I didn't know that I was even trying to do it, but I am. Are you trying to do the same thing? I work at actually trying to eliminate uncertainty from my life. I look to anticipate problems and stop them from becoming problems that are bigger. I look to try and say, what might be coming down the pike that I need to deal with? I long for a time and a place where there are no problems, where nothing's broken, where everyone around me is healthy, when people are getting along, when all the bills are paid, where there's money in the bank, where no one is angry at me. And there is a place just like that, and it's called heaven. And
And for some reason, and I think I know why, I keep saying to myself, wouldn't that be nice right now? Right now. But the more I began to think about it, and this was one of the things that really opened my eyes as I began working on this series, as I began going to the scripture saying, what does the scripture say about navigating uncertainty? Here's what really blew me away. If you read the Bible from cover to cover, and some of you have because you've been in disciple classes, if you read the Bible from cover to cover, I challenge you to make a list of the people in Scripture who had no problems, no bills to pay, all their money in the bank, everybody liked them, everything was fine, and there was no uncertainty in their lives. The Scripture is chocked full of stories of uncertainty and hardship and challenge. It's most of Scripture. It's why, as my Old Testament professor would say, the biggest prayer prayed in the Old Testament can be summarized in one word: help. And so for us, as we come to this series, we have to realize that even the most cherished stories that we have in the Bible are filled with uncertainty. Let's go to an example, like the Christmas story. We don't have so much of the narrative or the background in the Christmas story, but it's clear that Joseph had not downloaded hotels.com before they left to go to Bethlehem. And so, with his wife right on the edge, literally, of giving birth to a child, they are looking for housing. Can you imagine what's going on inside of Joseph? Not only did he almost recently lose his marriage or betrothedness because she announced that she was pregnant and it wasn't any man, and he's like, yeah, right. And then an angel shows up and says, yes, it is. And then they're headed to Bethlehem. They're low on money. They can find no place to stay. The baby is literally about to be born. And in that moment, Joseph might have looked up at heaven and said, can you throw me a bone? And we don't know if Mary was like, could you have planned this a little bit more? Can you imagine that conversation? And so even our most cherished stories are full of uncertainty. And so much of the Bible is about people navigating that uncertainty and how God helped them. Now, if you or I, and I have, were to Google the words navigate uncertainty, you're going to find a whole bunch of advice. You're going to find things like, acknowledge that there are problems. This is some genius high-level stuff. Look for what you have personal responsibility over and take control over that. Identify problems that you can solve. Communicate. Recall the past. Adapt. Look for help from others. And all of those things are great advice, and you'll find even more. But because there's so much uncertainty in the Bible, I want to ask what it has to say about it. And today we're going to look at a story involving Jesus. And here's what I want you to know up front. Jesus was especially careful about asking this question: what that's coming at me is coming from God, and what is coming from another source? Because no matter when you've lived, there's been a lot of information pouring toward us. But none more than today. You and I are flooded with more information than we could ever want or use simply because we carry a phone in our pocket. And so because of this, this is a huge lesson to start out with as we navigate uncertainty. And that is that Jesus was careful about where his information came from and the source of it. And he watched what he allowed to be input into his mind and heart. And in Matthew chapter 16, this is a story that happened that Matthew recorded. And here's what it says, beginning in verse 21. From then on, Jesus began to tell his disciples plainly that it was necessary for him to go to Jerusalem. This is God's plan. He's telling them plainly, and that he would suffer many terrible things at the hands of the elders, the leading priests, and the teachers of the law. He would be killed, but on the third day, he would be raised from the dead. So Jesus begins to clearly and plainly, so that they can't misunderstand it, tell them God's plan. And then in verse 22, it says this,
But Peter took him aside. He privately, away from the rest of the disciples, took him to the side and began to reprimand him. Now, from our perspective, that sounds really funny because he's telling Jesus, you're wrong and you don't know what you're talking about. But if we were to have an altar call about every time we told God that God was wrong, this would be full if we were honest. There are plenty of stories in our lives where we have said, God, you're out of your mind. You want me to be a Sunday school teacher? You want me to fill in the blank? Peter took him aside and began to reprimand him for saying such things. Heaven forbid, Lord, heaven itself, stop this from ever happening. He said, this will never happen to you. Now, was Peter coming at this from a place of anger? Was he coming at it from a place that lacked love for Jesus? It was none of these reasons. He had no malicious thoughts when he shared this with Jesus. He thought he was being protective and caring and loving when he said these words to Jesus. And then look at Jesus' response. Jesus turned to Peter and he didn't say, stop that, Peter. He said, get away from me. What did he say? Satan. Now, in today's world, I know that there are people that wrestle with this image. And I know that people believe that there are times when Satan is used as an image or an archetype in Scripture. In this case, it seems like Jesus is talking about a very real entity from which this is coming. Jesus was asking the question, where does this thought come from? And he's saying it didn't come from Peter's heart. This came from a source that wants something bad for me, destructive for me. And he says, you are a dangerous, what's the word? Trap for me. Now, why does he say that? He says that because Jesus has come to this moment understanding that his mission on this earth was to come and to live, to teach us what it means to be more like the Father, to die and offer us a way to be redeemed in our relationship with God. That was the plan. It was the plan from the Old Testament all the way forward, and Jesus knew that. And Peter was introducing an idea that if Jesus were to entertain it, he could spend a couple of months spinning around saying, is this really God's plan? Is this really God's plan? Is this really God's plan? Have you ever done that? What's the right thing? How do I know? Where do I go? What do I do? Who am I? And Jesus says, you're trapped in me because I could spend a week in the cereal aisle going, which one do I pick? And he said, I can't do that. That's not where I can be. The power in this moment is that Jesus was able to identify where this thought came from. And because of that, he was not willing to entertain it. Because the thought itself, amidst all the other uncertainties in his life, and Jesus had many. I mean, there was a moment where Jesus could have paused and looked up to heaven and say, are you sure we picked the right 12 people? Because I'm not sure when I leave that this thing is actually going to keep going. I'm a little bit concerned. We know for sure that one of them has already betrayed me. I would have thought that would have come from outside our organization, but it's come from within our organization. So I'm just wondering, Father, if all these things are in hand, he's got enough uncertainty to deal with, but his mission is clear to him, and he does not want to enter into that. And then he says to Peter something that's so powerful that we sometimes have a hard time wrestling with, and that you are seeing things merely, only, simply from a human point of view. And here's what he's telling us. As humans, you can't help that you can see things from a human point of view. But you don't only have to see them from a human point of view. I'm trying to teach you how to also see them from God's point of view. And if you only see things from a human point of view, it is very reasonable to say, there's no way. You are the Son of God. You were sent on a beautiful mission to teach us about God. There is no way you should be going to the cross and dying. And that makes perfect sense. Except that in God's economy and God's plan, Jesus needed to go to the cross. Which is why this interaction happened. And then Jesus uses this moment to tell his disciples something very important. And he says in the next verse, then Jesus said to the disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way and take up your cross, understand your mission, see what God's doing in your life, and follow me. Which deals with an awful lot of the uncertainty that we face in life. And then he says in the next verse, and this is so powerful, if you try to hang on to your life, you'll lose it. My wife and I still chuckle about the fact that when we were about 27, we put a master life plan on a large piece of paper on our refrigerator that said exactly when we were going to get our next step of education, when we were going to start to have our family, when we were going to do each step of the way. We put up our master plan right there on the refrigerator. And then about a year later, we found out we couldn't have kids. And God said, I want you to walk back to that plan and I want you to tear it up. Talk about uncertainty. It's like Abraham being told, just go. It's like Noah being told, just build an ark. There's no rain. What am I doing? There's no floods. And part of what God is trying to get through to us is that Jesus is telling us again and again and again that what he is working at doing is understanding God's point of view. Now, I'm going to tell you, as I begin to close, that that was a lot easier for Jesus than it is for us. Can I get an amen? It is a lot easier for Jesus than it is for us. And we're going to talk more about that as we go on. But here's what I want you to say. As we come to uncertainty in life, I just want you to begin by asking this basic question. From all the inputs that come to you, from CNN and MSNBC and Fox and whatever your inputs are, your friends, your neighbors, this person was Jesus' friend, one of his closest, the inner circle of his closest. And I want you to begin to say, where does that thought come from? And the answer may not be clear. You may not know it all. It doesn't matter. You're starting to ask the question. Is this from God's perspective or just another human perspective? Because I believe in opening ourselves up to hearing God and others around us, to hearing as many voices as we can. But there are moments when I just have to go away from everyone and everything and get away from every bit of noise and be quiet and say, God, I'm here. I want to know what you have to say. And there are times when I walk away from that moment with such clarity, and other times where it is exactly the same as when I walked in. And here's what I'm going to tell you. Sometimes uncertainty is like a fog, and it takes a while to clear. Be persistent. Be persistent. Would you pray with me? God, I am so grateful that there were moments. Jesus listened to so many people. He was willing to be a part of so many conversations. But there were moments when he said, no, I will not entertain that kind of uncertainty. I will not even listen. And so, Father, we ask that you would bring us greater clarity. Help us to know and to even begin to ask the question, where does that thought come from? Is it from you, God? Is it how you think? Is it how you respond? And help us, Father, to begin to sort through that. It is not easy. It's not clear. There aren't three simple steps that get you there. It's really about coming before you. It's about being committed to following you more than knowing exactly the right answer. Help us to do that, Father, to pursue you. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. May the Holy Spirit remind you that He has committed to walking beside us every day through all the uncertainty and to answer our prayers to give us wisdom. Seek God and His voice as you go. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Piano for Matt, are you?
testing, testing, 1, 2, 3. Testing, 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 1, 2, 3.